Mahabharata, Chapter 68, The Night Battle. As the sun approached the western hills, Satyaki once again encountered Somadatta. He told his charioteer to bring him toward the Kuru. "His time has come. I will not return from this battle without slaying him." Somadatta confronted him without fear. The two Kshatriyas pierced each other with snake-like arrows. They roared furiously and circled one another, each maintaining a fierce assault on his opponent. With blood running from many wounds, they looked like a couple of kinshuka trees in full bloom. Casting angry glances, the heroes fought relentlessly, looking for weaknesses in the other. Somadatta's father, Balika, rode up to assist his son. Seeing this, Bhima came to Satyaki's aid. Balika met him with a volley of arrows. Shrugging off those shafts, which were deflected by his thick armor, Bhima raised his bow. He shot hundreds of yard-long arrows at Balika, but the old warrior cut them down in mid-flight. He retaliated with a long steel shaft fitted with a barbed point. Fired with all Balika's power, the arrow struck Bhima on the chest and pierced his armor. Bhima trembled and swooned. Regaining his senses as Balika closed in to press his advantage, Bhima took up an iron mace and hurled it at his opponent. It sped through the air like a fireball and struck Balika on the forehead. The Kuru general died instantly, and he fell headlong from his chariot. Somadatta, still fighting with Satyaki, cried out in grief as his father died. He trained his arrows on Bhima, but Satyaki showered him with shafts and drew him away from the Pandava. Somadatta fought in a frenzy. He cut Satyaki's bow in two with a broad-headed arrow and struck him with countless more. Satyaki took up another bow and with a volley of shafts cut down Somadatta's standard and killed his charioteer and horses. Somadatta stood his ground and covered his foe with arrows that flew in straight lines from his bow. Satyaki raised a spear and hurled it at Somadatta's chest with all his power. But Somadatta cut that iron lance with arrows as it coursed toward him. Satyaki, screaming in anger, again sundered his opponent's bow. At the same time, he smashed his armor with a number of crescent-headed shafts. Seeing his opponent momentarily stunned, Satyaki took up a long arrow resembling a golden spear. He fixed it to his bow and charged it with mantras. The shaft hit Somadatta in the chest and split his heart in two. He fell from his chariot like a sal tree, severed at its root. The Kauravas wailed in anguish. Seizing their advantage, the Pandava forces pressed them back with a brutal assault. Headed by Bhima, Yudhisthira, and the twins, they flew against their dispirited foes with furious yells. Duryodhan went over to Karna. "O you who are devoted to your friends, the time has now come when your friends seek your assistance. O Karna, save my soldiers. The Pandavas are roaring in ecstasy and crushing our forces, like Indra crushes the Asuras." Karna reassured the anxious Kaurava. "O king, I will soon destroy the Pandavas. The time has come for me to kill Arjuna. With him gone, his brothers will be finished and your victory will be assured. I will employ the unfailing dart Indra gave me. Give up your sorrow. After killing Arjuna, I will destroy your other enemies and hand you the earth." Karna broke away from Duryodhan and roared. He looked at the dart, secure in its golden case at the front of his chariot. So far, no opportunity had arisen for him to use it. Arjuna had always been engaged in some other part of the field. But things were coming to a head. The war was reaching its climax, and all the great fighters would soon meet in fights to the finish. He would challenge Arjuna to single combat. One way or another, it would be their final encounter. Kripa was nearby and overheard Karna's words. He laughed. "Well spoken, son of Radha. If only words were sufficient, Duryodhan could consider himself successful. O hero, we have yet to see your words backed by action. Whenever you have encountered the Pandavas, You have been defeated. Kripa reminded Karna of the incident with the Gandharvas in the forest and of the battle on Virata's field. Your boasts are like the roaring of rainless autumnal clouds. They will cease the moment you face Partha in battle. Roar now while you are still beyond the range of his arrows, for when you are pierced by his shafts, you will be silent forever. Upset by Kripa's words, Karna replied, Why do you revile me, O Brahman? Wise men who know their own power roar and speak of their strength. Thus they gain inspiration to perform great deeds. You will soon see the proof of my boasts when I slay Arjuna together with Krishna, Jastadumna, and all their followers. Kripa looked disdainfully at Karna. Your words are little more than a madman's ravings. Arjuna cannot be slain by any creature within these three worlds, nor can the virtuous Yudhisthira be conquered. Simply by his angry glance he could, if he desired, consume all beings. It is only his compassion and piety that now allows us to live. Krishna always protects him and his brothers, and no one can know or approach Krishna. It is only your impudence that allows you to think you can face Arjuna in battle. Karna tried to smile through his rising anger. No doubt your words are true, twice-born one. The Pandavas are all this and more. Yet I am greater, and will still vanquish my enemy. Do not underestimate me, and consider me an ordinary man. I still have in my possession Indra's infallible dart. It will kill whomever I hurl it at. Indra himself told me that. The god's words are never futile. I plan to direct this dart at Arjuna. When I slay him, he will join his father in heaven. His brothers will then be incapable of continuing the fight. This is why I roar, O weak Brahman, seeing our imminent victory. Karna lost control of his temper and insulted Kripa. He accused him of favoring the Pandavas and threatened to cut out his tongue if he again spoke in such a way. Raising his voice, he went on, I see no real prowess in the Pandavas' feats. We are also destroying their forces. The fact that great heroes like Bhishma, Bhagadatta, Burishrava, Somadatta, Jayadrath, and now others lie on the battlefield is only due to fate. How could the Pandavas have slain such men, especially in the presence of Drona, you, the king, me, and other heroes? Only adverse destiny is to blame. But you, O most base of men, choose to praise our enemies. You will soon see their actual power when they meet with me in battle. Ashvatthama heard Karna insulting his maternal uncle. Drona's son never had much time for Karna, who showed little respect for his elders. And now he had gone too far. Kripa was a Brahmin and the Kuru's teacher. He did not deserve to be mistreated by the charioteer's son. Ashvatthama took out his sword and jumped from his chariot, roaring at Karna. How dare you speak like that, fool? The Acharya spoke the truth about Arjuna and his brothers, but because you are envious, you could not tolerate it. O wretch of a charioteer, you brag too much and do too little. We have already seen your power when matched against Arjuna. Even the celestials and asuras could not overcome Arjuna. Still, you hope to somehow defeat him yourself. Besides his own strength, Arjuna has the unconquerable Krishna as his ally. O vilest of men, I will not stand by as you insult my uncle. Stand before me, and I will cut your head from your body. Karna came down from his chariot to meet Ashvatthama's challenge. Seeing two of his most powerful fighters ready to fight to the death, Duryodhan became alarmed. He ran forward and stood between them, placing a hand on each of their shoulders. Karna drew out his sword and said, O best of the Kurus, stand aside. This one of evil understanding shall now taste my power. Still holding onto both men, Duryodhan said, O Ashvatthama, please forgive him. Do not be angry with Karna. The Pandavas are shouting out their battle cries and coming at us from all sides. I need both of you if we are to overpower them. Be pacified. Seeing Duryodhan's anxiety, Ashvatthama calmed himself and said, O Karna, I forgive you. Arjuna will soon enough crush your swelling pride. Reluctantly, Karna pulled away from Duryodhan and lowered his sword. Still seething, he glared at Ashvatthama. Kripa, who was naturally of a mild disposition, said, O wicked-minded Karna, I also forgive you. It is a fact that Arjuna will soon destroy your arrogance. While the Kuru chiefs had been speaking, the battle raged around them. The exultant Pandava forces had pushed forward and were routing the Kauravas. Karna, still furious from Ashvatthama's rebuke, looked around at the Pandava troops. It was time to show his full power. He remounted his chariot and charged into the fray. Drawing his long bow back to his ear, he began to release shafts that flew like fire-tipped rockets. Charioteers and horsemen fell by the hundreds as arrows whistled from his bow. Some of the Pandava warriors shouted, Here is Karna! O Karna, most sinful of men, give us battle! Others said, This crooked-minded man is the root of all these evils. He deserves to be killed by every king who values virtue. Arrogant and sinful, he abides by Duryodhan's order. Slay him at once! Yudhisthira marshaled his troops into a force that surrounded Karna. Thousands of warriors rained down arrows, darts, lances, and iron balls covered with flaming oil. Seeing him assailed by so many warriors, Karna displayed his skill as he whirled about on his chariot and countered their attack. Thousands of weapons dropped uselessly to the earth as Karna fearlessly cut them to pieces with his arrows. Shaking their bows and roaring, the Pandavas stepped up their attack. They covered Karna with a mass of arrows that screened him from view. But Karna broke through the assault by firing his own shafts with blinding speed. Coming clear of the shower of weapons, he launched a counteroffensive. He mowed down the Pandava troops. Sending arrows inspired by mantras, he slew thousands of warriors at a time. As Karna raged about, like the sun pouring forth scorching rays at noon, the Pandava army cried out. They looked about for a protector and ran here and there in fear. Bhima then rushed forward and challenged Karna. Karna clenched his teeth and shot a powerful shaft that cut down Bhima's standard. As the tall pole fell, he fired four more arrows that killed his horses. With another five shafts, he pierced Vishok, who leapt down and ran across to Satyaki's chariot, arrows protruding from his body. Incensed, Bhima took up a long steel-tipped lance. Balancing it in his hand, he hurled it with all his power. Karna cut it down with 10 arrows. As the fragments of the lance fell to the ground, Bhima took up a resplendent sword and a shield decorated with 100 moons. He leapt from his chariot and rushed at Karna, who destroyed the shield with 12 razor-faced arrows. Undaunted, Bhima flung the sword, and it flew at Karna like a dart, hitting his bow and cutting it in half. Karna took up another bow and aimed hundreds of shafts at Bhima. Bhima bounded high into the air and landed next to Karna's chariot. Seeing him appear like Yamaraj himself, Karna ducked down in his chariot. His charioteer urged on his horses, and the chariot pulled away from Bhima. Karna again stood on the terrace of his chariot and launched 50 steel arrows at Bhima, almost as if they were one. Pierced by the shafts, Bhima ran into the midst of an elephant division. With blows from his fists, he felled a number of the beasts, surrounding himself with their bodies to protect himself from Karna's chariot. Seeing Karna still trying to reach him, Bhima lifted one of the elephants and tossed it at him. Karna cut the elephant to pieces with his arrows and continued his attack. He rained down shafts, trying to slay Bhima, who had no weapon, but Bhima nimbly dodged Karna's arrows and leapt into the air. Maddened, Bhima hurled horses, chariots, elephant limbs, and anything else he could find on the field, but Karna cut everything to pieces with his arrows. Bhima practically breathed fire. He knew he could kill the charioteer's son with his bare hands, but he wanted to respect Arjuna's vow. Therefore, it was not yet time for Karna to die. Deciding to leave the fight He came out from behind the elephants and ran toward the pond of warriors. Karna did not relent. He struck Bhima with hundreds of powerful arrows that checked his progress on the field. Remembering his promise to Kunti, he did not attempt to kill Bhima. Karna knew he could kill only one Pandava, Arjuna. Karna rode over to Bhima and hit him on the head with the end of his bow, laughing. "O ignorant and impotent fool, go and fight with others. You are no match for a real man. Your only prowess lies in eating. The battlefield is no place for a boy like you. Rather, you should renounce the warrior's life and remain in the forest. Go now, while I am still inclined toward you. Find Arjuna and Krishna and ask for their protection." Controlling himself with difficulty, Bhima replied, "O wicked fool, I have repeatedly defeated you, and it is only by your fate that you still live. How do you indulge in such vain bragging? Even if you defeated me, what would it prove? The ancients have seen even Indra's victories and defeats. Come down from your chariot and wrestle with me if you dare. I will show you how I kill Kichaka." Suddenly Arjuna appeared on the battlefield not far from Karna. Seeing him standing over Bhima, who was on foot, he sped a number of arrows at him. Bhima took the opportunity to escape. Karna looked up and saw his antagonist. Licking his lips, he glanced down at his Shakti weapon. Soon the Pandavas would lament. Arjuna struck Karna with a volley of shafts that made him wince and drop his bow. Quickly regaining his senses, he responded with 100 straight-flying arrows. Arjuna cut them down and continuously struck his foe with countless other shafts. As Karna struggled to regain his composure, Arjuna released a long arrow resembling a serpent. Inspired with mantras, the shaft flew straight at Karna with the speed of the wind. Ashvatthama saw the arrow flying for Karna's destruction, and remembering his duty as a Kshatriya and his debt to Duryodhan, cut it down with a razor-headed shaft inspired with mantras. He then turned to attack Arjuna and draw him away from Karna, who was fatigued from his fight with Bhima. As the armies supporting the principal warriors surged forward, a general fight ensued. Karna lost sight of Arjuna as he was engaged by other Pandava warriors. The sun was setting, but neither side sounded the retreat. As twilight set in, they continued fighting with full force. More than 3/4 of the warriors on both sides had been slain. It was obvious that the war would soon be over. Darkness fell with both armies frantically seeking victory, contending by the light of thousands of torches. Barely able to distinguish friend from foe, they savagely assailed one another. Blazing arrows lit the sky, and the wreckage of burning chariots silhouetted soldiers locked in battle. The moon rose and cast an eerie glow across the battlefield, which rang out with the continuous clash of weapons and the cries of warriors. Arjuna, having annihilated almost all of the Shamshaptakas, turned the full force of his weapons onto the surviving Kauravas. Displaying his long-practiced skill of striking invisible targets, he destroyed his enemies like a fire destroys dry grass. The Kaurava screamed in terror as his arrows came out of the darkness and cut them to pieces. They fled, falling over one another in their haste to escape. Duryodhan called to his fleeing troops, "Stop! Do not fear! I will destroy Partha along with all his brothers. Stand and fight, for you will now witness my incomparable prowess." The prince shouted orders and charged in Arjuna's direction, followed by a large division of charioteers and horsemen. Seeing this, Kripa went to Ashvatthama and said, "The king has lost all caution in his rage. Recklessly he is rushing at Arjuna. If he is not checked, Arjuna will burn him to ashes. Go and stop him." Ashvatthama went after Duryodhan and called out, "O son of Gandhari, as long as I am living, you need not fight. I will check Partha. Why do you not order me, who am always devoted to your welfare?" Clutching his bow and a handful of arrows, Duryodhan shouted back, "It seems that your esteemed father is protecting the Pandavas like his own children. You too have not yet displayed your full power in battle. Otherwise, how could my enemy still survive? Fie on my avaricious self, for whose sake so many kings have died. O son of Creepy, be gratified. Slay my foes with your celestial weapons, which are equal to those of Lord Shiva himself. Who is there who can stay within the range of your missiles? O son of a Brahmin, you are surely capable of routing the Pandavas and all their forces. Go speedily into battle and do us good. We now depend on you. Duryodhan had stopped some distance from Arjuna. He could see Hanuman on his banner glowing in the distance. Arjuna's chariot roved about the field, leaving a trail of destruction as flaming arrows shot out in all directions. Ashvatthama replied, O Kaurava, it is true that the Pandavas are dear to my father, just as they are dear to me, and we are also dear to them. But in battle, it is different. All friendships are forgotten. Karna, Shalya, Kritavarma, Kripa, my father, and I are all doing what we can to defeat them. Ashvatthama was tired of hearing Duryodhan's continuous accusations, especially against his father. Seeing the Kaurava prince as his equal in age and accomplishments, and inferior in caste, he reproached him. Surely, O king, you are mean-minded and possessed of crooked intelligence. Because you are conceited, sinful, and avaricious, you trust nobody. Nevertheless, I will not abandon my duty. Today I will use all my power for your sake. You will see the Panchalas, Somakas, and Chedis totally destroyed. I will send whoever confronts me to Yamaraj's mansion for their final reckoning. Ashvatthama's chariot pulled away from Duryodhan and charged straight into the thick of battle. Plunging into the Panchala forces, he called out, O mighty chariot warriors, strike me in a body and show your prowess. Stay in battle and be calm, because I will now display my power. Great showers of arrows were immediately directed at Ashvatthama, who quickly countered the attack. Before the Pandava's eyes, he began annihilating the troops that surrounded him. Justadumna approached him and shouted, O preceptor's son, why are you slaying ordinary soldiers? Here I am. If you are really a hero, then fight with me. I will soon dispatch you to death's abode. Justadumna struck Ashvatthama with thick flights of dreadful-looking arrows. They pierced his body like maddening bees entering a flowering tree in search of honey. Ashvatthama became as furious as a kicked serpent. With blood running from his wounds, he dauntlessly resisted Justadumna's attack with his own shafts. Rebuking him in harsh words, he covered him with a volley of steel arrows. Justadumna laughed. O Brahman of wicked understanding, do you not know my origin and destiny? I will slay your father, and then I will kill you. You can leave today in safety. I will not kill you while your father still lives, for he deserves his death before you. When the sun rises tomorrow, I will cut him down with my arrows. A Brahman who forgets his duty and takes up arms is a sinful wretch who deserves to be killed by any honest Kshatriya. Beside himself with rage, Ashvatthama fired innumerable arrows at Justadumna. The Panchala prince stood unmoving on his chariot and warded off Ashvatthama's attack. As the fight between the two heroes continued, the celestials watched in awe from the sky. Both men displayed mystical weapons which lit up the heavens. Unable to gain the advantage over Justadumna, Ashvatthama suddenly slew Justadumna's horses and charioteer. He then rushed past him and slaughtered the Panchala troops by the thousands. Before anyone could check him, he had sent 10,000 horsemen and infantry to the next world. Yudhisthira, Bhima, and the twins came swiftly to protect the troops, and a general battle ensued by the light of the rising moon. Heroes engaged with heroes and troops battled troops. As they fought on into the night, they recognized each other only by their shouts as they called out their names. With the onset of night, Ghatotchaka felt his strength doubled. Having recovered from Ashvatthama's attack, he came back to the fight. Seeing him on the battlefield again, Krishna said to Arjuna, Behold Bhima's mighty son. In my opinion, he is the only warrior, other than yourself, capable of defeating Karna. we should at once send him against the charioteer's son. Just see how Karna is destroying our troops. He is like the rising sun, even at this grim hour. His arrows are mangling our troops. Look, they are fleeing in every direction. Krishna pointed to Karna's standard, lit up by torches and visible in the distance. Bent on annihilating the remaining Pandava forces, he ranged about the field with his bow constantly drawn, sending out fire-tipped arrows in unending lines. Krishna continued, I do not think the time has come when you should confront Karna. He still has Indra's Shakti weapon, which he is preserving for you, O Partha. Therefore summon Ghatotchka and order him to check that arrogant Suta's son. The Rakshasa chief is conversant with every kind of Asuric weapon and will surely be a great threat to Karna. Arjuna looked across at Karna. He longed for the moment when he would be able to curb his pride once and for all. The Pandava knew about his Shakti weapon, but it did not bother him. He had faced every kind of celestial missile before in battle. Krishna's infallible advice, however, should be followed. Perhaps the Shakti was more powerful than he thought. Arjuna summoned Ghatotchka, and the Rakshasa soon appeared before him, encased in armor and ready with bow and sword. Offering obeisances before both Krishna and Arjuna, he said, Here I am, O rulers of men. Please order me. Krishna replied, Take my blessings, O Ghatotchka, and hear what must be done. The hour for you to display your prowess has arrived. I do not see another who can accomplish what you can. Over there stands the powerful Karna, hurling his weapons and scorching our army. None can stand before him but you. Therefore become the raft which will carry us across the frightful Kaurava ocean, where Karna is its shark. Rescue your fathers and uncles, for this is a reason why a man begets sons. You are indeed a worthy son of Bhima, O Rakshasa, as you always desire his welfare. Use your illusions and power and check the fierce bowman Karna. Pandu's sons, headed by Drishtadyumna, will engage with Drona and his forces. Arjuna told Ghatotchka that he would send Satyaki to protect him from other attacks as he fought with Karna. He should simply concentrate all his power on the Suta's son and his followers. Ghatotchka was overjoyed at the opportunity to serve his uncle and Krishna. I am up to this task, O Bharata. I am surely a match for Karna and any other powerful hero who cares to face me. As long as the world exists, men will speak of the battle I will fight tonight. Fighting in the Rakshasa mode, I will spare no one, even those who solicit mercy with folded palms. Bowing again before Arjuna and Krishna, Ghatotchka then left and rushed toward Karna. He launched flaming arrows at him from a distance of 2 miles and bellowed out his challenge. Seeing the huge Rakshasa bearing down on him, Karna stopped slaughtering the Pandava troops and turned to face him. As a violent encounter took place, Alambusha approached Duryodhan and said, Permit me to engage with the Pandavas, O king. I desire to slay them and offer their blood as an oblation to my deceased relatives. By some Rakshasa-killing charm, they managed to kill my brother Baka and my father Jatasura, but they will not escape me, for this night hour has doubled my power. Duryodhan smiled at the Rakshasa. Go and challenge Ghatotchka. He is of your race, and is waging a terrible battle with Karna. Ever devoted to the interests of the Pandavas, he is creating carnage among my troops. Alambusha looked across at Ghatotchka and licked his lips. I go at once. He mounted his iron chariot with its spikes protruding from the sides, and uttering a deafening roar, charged. Ghatotchka, screaming hideously, maintained an unending assault on Karna, and at the same time destroyed thousands of the warriors who supported him. As Alambusha came at him, he laughed and released a powerful volley of long iron shafts with flaming points. The scorching arrows struck Alambusha and checked his progress. Employing his Rakshasa powers, Ghatotchka then caused a tremendous downpour of shafts to appear on the battlefield. They fell on Karna, Alambusha, and all the Kauravas surrounding them. Alambusha displayed similar skills to produce arrows which countered those of his foe. For some time the two Rakshasas fought, both exhibiting mystical illusions. Flaming rocks and lances fell from the sky. Ferocious beasts and ghastly-looking wraiths and spirits rose from the ground. Their screams terrified the Kaurava soldiers who ran in fear. Even in the dark of night, an even denser darkness suddenly set in, making everything invisible. As one Rakshasa created an illusion, the other countered it with his own power. They fired countless arrows at one another and hurled darts, maces, iron balls, axes, and lances. They roared in fury, making the earth vibrate. Ghatotchka succeeded in smashing his opponent's chariot with a number of steel shafts shot in swift succession. Alambusha leapt down and flew at Ghatotchka with outstretched arms. He struck his antagonist with his bare fist, and Ghatotchka shook like a mountain in an earthquake. Raising his own bludgeon-like arm, he dealt a crushing blow to Alambusha that sent him sprawling. Ghatotchka jumped onto his foe and pressed his neck, but Alambusha wrestled himself free. The two Rakshasas fought hand in hand, as the hair of onlookers stood erect in fear. Striking and kicking, they threw each other to the ground, both changing shapes, one becoming a great serpent and the other an eagle, one an elephant and the other a tiger, then a pair of Sharabas. Rising into the sky, they appeared like two planets colliding. They fought wonderfully, attacking each other with mallets, swords, spears, trees, and mountain peaks. Gradually, Ghatotchka's superior strength began to tell. Seeing Alambusha tiring, he seized him by the hair. He dashed him to the ground and dealt him a great kick. Taking hold of a shining schmichter, he jerked his head upwards and severed it from his trunk. Ghatotchka got onto his chariot, still holding the head. He went over to Duryodhan and tossed it into his chariot. Seeing the blood-soaked head, its face contorted and its hair disheveled, Duryodhan was shocked. He looked over at Ghatotchka, who shouted, "Just see your friend, O king, whose great prowess you have personally witnessed. You are destined to see Karna, and indeed yourself meet a similar end. The scriptures say that one should never go before a king with empty hands. Accept, then, this head as my gift to you. You may be free from anxiety only for as long as I do not slay Karna." Ghatotchka then turned away from Duryodhan and resumed his attack on Karna, who was hemmed in by Pandava warriors, striving to hold him in check. The Rakshasa sent a stream of shafts at Karna, and the fight between them carried on in earnest. Like two tigers tearing at each other with their claws, they mangled each other with their lances, arrows, and darts. Their blazing shafts lit up the battlefield. No one could look at them as they released their weapons. Covered with wounds and steeped in their own blood, they resembled two hills of red chalk, with rivulets flowing down their sides. Even though both were endeavoring to their utmost, they could not make the other flinch. The twang of their bows filled the four quarters like the continuous rumbling of thunder. Realizing that he could not overpower his foe with arrows, Ghatotchka invoked the Rakshasa weapon. Karna was immediately encircled by a force of demons, armed with large rocks, lances, trees, and clubs. Other Rakshasas appeared in the sky and rained down an incessant shower of javelins, battle axes, and iron wheels on Karna and the Kaurava army. Everyone fled in alarm. Only Karna, proud of his strength, did not flee. With tens of thousands of arrows, he checked the Rakshasa illusions and countered their weapons. Ghatotchka rushed at Karna with his mace whirling above his head. Karna cut the mace apart with a dozen arrows and pierced his chest with 20 more. Stopped in his tracks, Ghatotchka hurled at Karna a razor-headed discus adorned with jewels and shining brilliantly. Karna again cut the weapon to pieces almost as soon as it left the Rakshasa's hand. Seeing his discus fall into fragments, Ghatotchka blazed up in anger and covered Karna with arrows as Rahu covers the sun. Karna countered his attack and sent a similar number of shafts at his foe. Gatochka rose up into the sky and soared above Karna's head. He dropped rocks and trees on him by the hundreds, but Karna smashed him to pieces with his arrows. Invoking a celestial weapon, Karna pierced Gatochka all over his body with so many arrows that he appeared like a porcupine with erect quills. Gatochka used his own illusory powers to counter Karna's weapon, then disappeared from view. Suddenly, showers of arrows began to appear from all parts of the sky and from every quarter. They fell upon the Kauravas and Karna from all sides. Karna invoked other divine weapons, but Gatochka appeared in a form with many huge heads and swallowed them. He ranged about the heavens and on the ground, seeming to be in many places at once. At one moment he was seen in a vast form, and in the next he was as small as a thumb. He entered the earth and went high into the sky. Appearing at a great distance, he suddenly reappeared right next to Karna. Gatochka created a mountain on the battlefield, which issued forth a shower of weapons. Karna, unruffled, broke the mountain into pieces by means of a celestial missile. The Rakshasa then created a dense blue cloud above Karna that dropped a thick shower of boulders. Karna blew the cloud away with the Vayavya weapon. With limitless arrows, he continuously destroyed the Rakshasa illusions. Thousands of demons then attacked Karna with every kind of deadly weapon. Karna checked all his attackers with swift shafts, shot with such speed that they could not be seen until they struck their target. The afflicted Rakshasa forces appeared like a host of wild elephants assailed by an angry lion. Karna destroyed them like the god of fire, burning down all creatures at the end of creation. Only Gatochka could stand before the enraged Karna as he released his weapons. Bhima's son then created a chariot created by his own powers of illusion. The chariot resembled a hill and was yoked to 100 goblin-headed asses as big as elephants. They drew Gatochka close to Karna, and the Rakshasa hurled a celestial lance at him that blazed through the sky like a lightning bolt. Amazing all the onlookers, Karna caught the lance and threw it back at Gatochka. The surprised Rakshasa leapt clear, and the lance hit his chariot, smashing it into 1,000 flaming pieces and killing its horses and charioteer. As his chariot exploded, Gatochka rose again into the sky. Karna directed numerous celestial weapons at him, but he avoided them all by his agility and illusory powers. He multiplied himself into 100 forms so that Karna could not distinguish which of them was actually his enemy. Then he made ferocious animals appear from all directions. Lions, tigers, hyenas, five-tongued snakes, and iron-beak vultures issued forth and ran screaming or roaring at Karna and the other Kauravas. Packs of wolves and leopards with gruesome features rushed across the field, along with numerous ghosts, pishachas, jinn, and men with heads of beasts. Karna remained steadfast on his chariot and struck all the creatures with straight-flying shafts. Uttering incantations sacred to the sun god, he burned up his assailants by the tens of thousands. Struck by Karna's mantra-charged arrows, their bodies fell to earth in charred and mutilated pieces. Gatochka vanished from sight and boomed out at Karna from across the sky. "Your end is near, wretch. Wait, and I will slay you." Karna, unable to see his opponent, covered the sky with arrows. Suddenly, a great red cloud appeared in the heavens, casting a red glow over the battlefield. It emitted flashes of lightning and tongues of fire. The cloud roared as if thousands of drums were being beaten simultaneously. From it fell countless golden-winged shafts, spears, heavy clubs, spiked bludgeons, razor-edged discuses, and numerous other weapons. They dropped on the surviving Kauravas, who wailed in distress. From out of the cloud flew thousands of Rakshasas clutching spears and battle axes. They ranged about the sky like flying mountains. With blazing faces and sharp teeth, The monstrous demon struck terror into the core of his hearts. Descending onto the battlefield, they slaughtered Duryodhan's forces without mercy. A confused din arose in the gloom of the night battle as thousands of brave warriors lost their lives. Unable to stand against their attackers, the Kauravas fled. As they ran, they cried, "Run! All is lost! The gods with Indra at their head have come to destroy us!" Karna alone, covered by arrows, remained fearless. He fought back against the Rakshasas, warding off their attack and sending his blazing steel shafts into the sky and in all directions. Closing on his intrepid foe, Ghatotkacha hurled four irresistible lances that slew Karna's horses. Karna saw him swiftly approaching, his schmichter held high. All around him he heard the Kauravas' wails and cries. "O Karna, use Indra's weapons to slay this colossus, otherwise he will kill us all with his mighty illusions." Karna reflected. There was no alternative. The Rakshasa was consuming all his celestial weapons. Nothing could stop him except the infallible Shakti. Seeing that Ghatotkacha would also slay him, he forgot about Arjuna and snatched the Shakti weapon from its gold case. Placing it on his bow, he aimed it at the Rakshasa while uttering the mantras. The battlefield around him became brilliantly illuminated, as if the sun had risen. Fearful winds blew and thunder resounded in the heavens. Karna released the weapon, and it flew like a fireball at Ghatotkacha. The Rakshasa saw his end approaching and suddenly expanded his body to an immense size. Towering above the battlefield, he was struck full on the chest by the Shakti weapon. It passed clean through his body, flew up into the sky, and disappeared into the heavens to return to Indra. Slain instantly, Ghatotkacha fell toward the Kauravas. His huge frame crushed a complete division of warriors as he hit the ground. As he died, his frightful illusions vanished. Seeing his opponent kill, Karna roared with joy. Duryodhan and his brothers shouted with him, and the Kauravas beat drums and blew conches. They surrounded Karna and praised him with cheerful voices.